Welcome to the Regarding Leadership Podcast, a podcast around the table. In this podcast, we have conversations and content regarding leadership that is healthy and heartfelt, proven and practical for leaders who are actually leading. I'm your host, Ryan D.B. Kimmel, and I am blessed to have you with us. Any leader who has risen the ranks of their church or organization or business has learned a hard lesson. Sometimes you have to support decisions you don't agree with. I'm going on 5 years as the lead pastor, but before that, I had a decade and a half of being in the second, third, and fourth chair, as well as in the volunteer seat, all the while trying to be a great team player and support for leadership. And there were times, honestly more than a few, where decisions were made, and had it been my decision, I would have done something entirely different. But they weren't my decision. And so I had to learn how to support decisions that I didn't agree with, even when they impacted me. So here's a question for today. How do we go about supporting decisions that our leadership has made that we don't agree with? Before we get into that, let's get two basic things clear about leadership and working on a team. First, being a team player means following decisions you may not agree with, but still trusting and honoring your leader. But also, leadership is about making decisions not everyone agrees with, and yet still leading and loving the very people who disagree with you. Now listen, I've been on both sides of these equations, and both sides to varying degrees, and I'm learning a thing or two. So let's do this with our time. We'll first talk about how do we even go about supporting decisions we don't agree with, and then we'll talk about what happens when we actually do support decisions that we don't agree with. So how do we do it? How do we support decisions we don't agree with? Well, it really comes down to this: humility. This leads to a number of things, but they all stem from humility. Humility says, I'll be the type of team player that I wish I had on my team if I was the captain or the coach, the leader or the decision maker. Humility recognizes that you're not the leader or decision maker, and so your place is to support the direction, directive, and decisions of your leaders. Humility is about knowing your place, and I know that may sound sharp, but it's not meant to be. It's just that humility is recognizing reality. There are leaders and there are team players. Remember this: decisions are costly, but opinions are cheap. Leaders who make decisions bear the responsibility and the accountability of those decisions. When people don't have responsibility and accountability, then it's hard to feel the weight of leadership decisions. Until you bear the burden of being accountable to the decision, it's so important to have the humility to know that your thoughts on the matter don't carry the same weight as those making the decision. Humility helps us to know how to support decisions you don't agree with, but it's also really helpful to know what happens when we do. Humility helps us to know how to support decisions you don't agree with, but it's also really helpful to know what happens when we do. And that's what we'll talk about next. I recently shared with my staff that there are at least three positive things that happen when we do support decisions we don't agree with. Three things that are not only good, but that you would want to be known for. And the first one is this: we defend leadership. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says this: obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So when we support decisions that are made, whether we agree or not, we defend our leaders' God-given roles of authority, and we defend the process which led to those decisions being made. Healthy systems and healthy churches need godly leaders, and we need to support both the system and the leader. It's not just supporting the leader and his or her decisions, it's about supporting the process, and that's healthy, and that keeps the system running smoothly. And when we defend leadership and process, there are four subpoints under this that I want to make sure that we understand. And the first is this: that we are doing our part to A, to close the door for gossip to spread. Gossip is insidious, it's sinful, and it never helps. It always contaminates. So when we lead with support and not criticism, we're doing our part to close the door on gossip. And if you do your part to close the door on gossip, I will tell you, the leader will take positive note of this. Next, when we defend our leaders and the decision-making process, we're doing our part to B, to curb grumbling, which corrupts hearts. When we gossip and grumble, here's what's happening. we are encouraging other people's hearts to remain in an unhealthy place, and that ultimately hurts them. In a system that is full of gossiping grumblers, that's a toxic environment, which touches on this next part. When we defend our leaders and the decision-making process, we are doing our part to see to promote health as our church follows lines of authority and accountability. Every great military, organization, sports team, system, business, country, or church needs to have lines of authority and accountability. Otherwise, we'll either have chaos or inefficiency or both, which is why we need to know that when we support decisions we don't agree with, we promote health as our church follows lines of authority and accountability. And lastly, when we defend leadership and process, we're doing our part to D, to create an atmosphere of joy for our leaders, which benefits everyone, including ourselves. We already read from Hebrews in our command to let our leaders lead with joy. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather follow a happy leader. And as a leader, I can tell you, when my team defends me and the decisions that I make, that makes me happy. You've heard the term, happy wife, happy life. Well, how about this? A happy commander makes things grander. Yeah, okay, that was lame, but you get the idea. When we bring joy to our leaders, it builds a great atmosphere. And we should bring joy to our leaders because, let me share something with you that your leaders won't tell you. Good leaders have it harder than they let on. And so, if you have a great leader, understand they carry more than they show. So don't add to their burden. Lighten it by being a source of joy and support for them. And so, again, this was all by way of saying that the first big idea is that when we support decisions we don't agree with, we defend leadership and we defend process. So again, this was all by way of saying that the first big idea is that when we support decisions we don't agree with, we defend leadership. And our second big idea is something that's rarely talked about, but unfortunately is shown even less. Our second big idea is that when we support decisions we don't agree with, we demonstrate honor. When was the last time that you talked about or thought about honor in the workplace or in the ministry setting? As I've talked with churches across the nation, there's a key aspect I've noticed in staff cultures which makes some churches healthier than others, and it's the notion of honor. Whether or not we use the word, the action is shown. So the Apostle Paul was writing to Titus, a church planner that he was training, and he was instructing him on how to build healthy church culture. And Paul writes this in Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. He says, "As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned." Paul is telling Titus not to put up with people causing division over secondary issues, but rather focus on the gospel, which is the primary message and mission. This is all really about keeping first things first, which is the humble thing to do. Because to do this means setting aside our prerogatives and putting the mission first. And so, when it comes to having and showing honor in supporting decisions we don't agree with, let's talk about those times when we are included in the decision-making process. As a leader, I cannot think of a time where I made a major decision that I did not include a vast array of input from others, from those who are my direct reports, those who report to my direct reports, and many others. I often bring in other people to give feedback, counsel, and wisdom when I make decisions, and I will tell you, it always goes better when the people I ask show honor and humility. And so let's talk for a few moments and think about this when you are brought into the decision-making process. The first thing is this: be honored and show honor. Demonstrate the heart and attitude that you wish to see in others. When you are pulled into a decision, be honored and show honor, but remember, this does not mean that you are making the decision. A lot of the time, younger or inexperienced leaders will see me asking for their input, and they automatically think that means I'm going to implement exactly what they have to say. This is not the case. I'm not looking for them to make the decision. I'm asking for their input to help make the decision better. And so, when your input or advice is solicited but not taken, remember, this does not mean that your time was wasted or not valued. A good leader would never seek to waste your time. Likewise, when your input or advice is solicited but not taken, remember, This doesn't mean the one who asked you is foolish because they didn't listen to you. Again, have the humility to realize your leader may often have a different, or dare I say, a better perspective. So show honor and humility before those God has called to be in leadership over you. And third, when your input or advice is solicited but not taken, remember, this certainly does mean that you help to make a more informed decision. Even if you are part of the discussion, but the decision did not go the way that you wanted or advised, trust that since you are part of that decision, you helped shape it and refine it to be a more informed one. Again, this is part of that godly process that we're defending. But on the flip, when we are not part of the decision-making process, this is where we get to show how valuable we are to the team by the honor and humility that we demonstrate. When decisions are made and you're not part of that decision, we need to have the humility to remember a few subpoints. And the first is this: we don't have the perspective of our leaders. Having been both a team player and a team leader, I can tell you leadership is a different seat from which we look at things, and that must be respected by our teammates. When decisions are made and you're not part of that decision, we need to have the humility and honor to remember we probably haven't invested the time, prayer, and research that led to the decision. And even if we have, we need to keep what we just said close at hand, that leadership grants a different perspective. Thirdly, when decisions are made and you're not part of that decision, we need to have the humility and honor to remember, again, that we are called to be sources of joy for our leaders, and we can do that by demonstrating that we are honorable and humble in the way that we respond. So before we move on to the last big idea, let's review the first two. When we support decisions that we don't agree with, first, we defend leadership. And second, we demonstrate honor. This leads to the last main idea, and it has to do with being an answer to a prayer of Jesus himself. The third big idea that happens when we support decisions we don't agree with is this: we deepen unity. Jesus says in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, he says, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." It's amazing that hours before Jesus' death, in his final prayer, he had such an emphasis on unity. He wanted his people to be unified. So you can think about it like this. In many ways, when we support decisions that we don't agree with, we're doing our part to be an answer to Jesus' prayer for unity, and thus we are making Jesus' prayer our priority rather than making it a priority to have it our way or to have things go the way that we prefer. Jesus, need I remind you, did not pray for your preferences. He prayed for his church's unity. And so when we support decisions that we don't agree with, we deepen unity. And so we've discussed three critical and positive things that happen when we support decisions that we don't agree with. First, we defend leadership. Second, we demonstrate honor. And third, we deepen unity. But, you may ask, Pastor, are you asking everyone just to check their conscience and critical thinking at the door and just do what the leader says? Well, I truly would hope that you don't get that from what we're discussing here, because that's not what I'm saying. But that does lead nicely into this next thought. Let's consider a few things when it gets really tough in supporting decisions you disagree with. So let's ask the question, is there ever a time to dissent, to break ranks, to stand against decisions leadership has made? The answer is yes, there is a time. So let me give you three things that we can never comply with. The first is this: we do not support immoral decisions. These would be things that go against your conscience or things that are clearly unethical. Second, we do not support illegal decisions. These are decisions that go against the law or cause you to break the law. And also, we do not support heretical decisions. These would be things that go against the Bible, God's word, or God's revealed truth. And or it would be things that promote that which is clearly against God's will. So while we are called to support decisions our leaders make, even if we disagree, there are certainly times that we cannot, quote unquote, follow the leader. I would hope those times are rare, if not ever. But this brings us to a very important question, and one that maybe some of you are asking. What if you are constantly finding yourself at odds with the decisions of your leaders? Then what? Okay, this is hard, But when we are constantly finding ourselves at odds with leadership and their decisions, this points to at least one of at least three things that you need to make sure that you take note of and prayerfully consider. First, this could be an example of cultural mismatch. Maybe you're just not a good fit. And if that's the case, this is a hard situation to stay in, and I'm sure that there's more friction than what you probably realize. Second, this could be an example of philosophical misalignment. This means that you just have a totally different approach to how things should go. Again, this is hard when teammates are philosophically misaligned. And lastly, and this is probably the hardest, but this could be an example of interpersonal mistrust. And this is where the problem isn't necessarily with the decision, but with the relationship to the leader. Maybe they've done something to lose your trust. It's very hard to support decisions that you don't agree with if you don't also trust the leaders. The hard thing to realize with any of these, especially when there's more than one, is that they are typically a sign that you would be a better fit and probably a lot happier in another position or even another place of employment. Now listen, I don't want to sound fatalistic about this because I think there are ways to grow and find flourishing even if you find yourself in a cultural mismatch, a philosophical misalignment, or if you have interpersonal mistrust. I'm just saying that it often takes a lot to repair and overcome these obstacles. So, as we close up, let me give you just two quick add-ons about all of this in hopes of maintaining a thriving working environment. First is this: our reactions to decisions that we don't agree with will have a direct impact on our future opportunities to have more influence. If you remember these principles that we've talked about and you aren't ultimately going against your conscience, I guarantee you'll be demonstrating the type of team player attitude that you'll want on your team if and when you become the leader. And so, for my fellow cynics out there, I know what you're thinking, so let me just remind us. This is not about falling in line. This is about leading up. That's the second thing. Leaders and aspiring leaders, we need to realize we cannot make everyone happy. So again, be the type of team player that you would want to have on your team. We've already read from Jesus' prayer in John 17, a prayer that is known as the High Priestly Prayer. And let me remind you what we've already discussed, that Jesus' big prayer before his death was this, that Christians would have unity. The world has enough to criticize the church for. The church doesn't need to add on disunity and dissension as reasons for the world to scoff at our message. So when Christians decide to break ranks and fight decisions causing disunity and dissension, it better be over issues of the gospel or when matters of morality are at stake, not just preferences. Otherwise, we're actively choosing to be a hindrance to what Jesus himself prayed for. Simply stated, too much is at stake for us to sanctify our own personal preferences to the point of contention. Again, when we support decisions that we disagree with, we live into the unity that Jesus prayed for, and we build the trust that the church needs. In closing, as Hebrews says, good leaders do good things for the good of our souls. And this should help fuel our defense of our leaders when we find ourselves having to support decisions that we don't agree with. So may you respond to decisions that you don't agree with the same team player attitude that you'll want to have on your team one day. And may God guide and bless your leadership.
Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone today. You can follow Regarding Leadership. Find more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. Regarding Leadership is brought to you by Round the Table, a ministry of Peace Church in Middleville, Michigan.